Today, if you download an HD movie, 60 gigabytes, 80 gigabytes, it takes an enormous amount of time. So I have a photonic chip that's capable of transmitting 50 gigabits per second. I can transfer an HD movie in less than a second.
This is Future Lab, the online radio show of Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. What if you could take microprocessor technology and combine that with laser technology? What are the challenges? Then again, what are the possibilities? This week, Intel demonstrated for the first time a 50 gigabit link between two chips using silicon photonics technology. The ramifications are enormous. 50 gigs is just the beginning. Scientists already envision scaling the technology to terabit levels. But a little more than 50 years ago, lasers and microprocessors didn't exist. The first silicon integrated chip was patented by Intel co-founder Robert Noyce in 1959. The first laser was realized a year later in 1960. And while the two technologies were on separate paths, scientists began to wonder how lasers might relieve bottlenecks in the transmission of data. Dr. Graham Reed is a professor of optoelectronics and a researcher at the University of Surrey in the United Kingdom.
We know quite a lot about light. In the communications context, it's more about manipulating it and what materials we can use to manipulate it. So you can go back in history and, you know, people would light a fire as a signal. You'd have a bonfire on the top of a hill to signify an invasion or something like that, and it would pass across a country. Same sort of process, really. If you get down to the nitty-gritty, it's just a light's on. That means there's some information there, because it's just basically an on laser, as it were.
It's a profound illustration about how human we remain, even though our technology continues to change. Today, silicon photonics researchers are studying how to transmit data using that bonfire in the form of light beams, but it turns out that silicon is not a good optical material.
What it can't do is emit light efficiently, and it doesn't have the same sort of modulation mechanism that traditional optical modulators have. The light emission difficulty in silicon is still not solved intrinsically in silicon, and this is why people have looked at alternative means. Some people work on silicon, try and modify silicon to make it a light emitter, and others, like the Intel guys, along with John Bowers, bond a well-known light-emitting material onto the silicon and utilize the light emission properties of that.
We started this effort of saying, let's try to siliconize photonics. Can we bring the same manufacturing, silicon manufacturing processes, and essentially what we've done with Moore's Law of integration and CMOS to photonics?
Mario Paniccia is the director of the Photonics Technology Lab at Intel.
And over the last few years, we've proven we can build optical devices out of silicon. That's what we call silicon photonics. We've built modulators at 40 gig. We've built hybrid silicon lasers. We've built photodetectors. So we've built these individual devices, and think of them as transistors. And now once we have these optical devices and photonics in silicon, we said let's integrate them together. And with integrated silicon photonics, now you can build things that you just can't build with big bulky devices.
Paniccia demonstrated the 50 gigabit link at an Optical Society of America conference, a conference on photonics in switching held in Monterey, California. The breakout sessions were conducted in rooms that were perched next to Monterey Bay. And during a meeting break, we went out onto the deck overlooking the bay, the kayakers, and the sea otters, and spoke with Intel's chief technology officer, Justin Ratner, about the role of lasers in computing.
Today, the electrical communication, you know, comes out of the pins on the chip, and then we try to, you know, drive those traces on the circuit board or through cables and connectors to other boards or even other chassis, let's say, in a big server farm. So what we imagine in the future is a silicon photonic chip right next to the processor chip or even right next to the memory chips that immediately converts from electronic signaling to optical signaling and moves the data as a stream of photons over the fiber and then gets converted back to an electrical signal at the far end. So in some sense, we're removing that bottleneck that electronic signaling has taken us to, and opening up almost an unlimited amount of headroom by going to fiber optic and photonic communication.
The Intel team has worked closely with Dr. John Bowers, director of the Institute for Energy Efficiency and professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of California at Santa Barbara. He was working at Bell Labs in the 1980s when the big shift in telecommunications happened, when electrical wires were replaced by fiber optics.
It used to be very expensive to make a long-distance phone call across the ocean. It became essentially free. What has happened more recently is that the costs have come down enough that the distances of transmission now can become quite short. We had a whole session of talks yesterday from a bunch of data center companies like Google and Facebook and lots of supercomputer companies like IBM and Hewlett-Packard, and they all had very much the same comment, which was the demands for transmission of data from servers to storage and servers to other data centers is becoming so large, it can't be handled with electronic connections, even within the data center. If you want to get 10 times the capacity for the same power, the only way to do that is by having photonic interconnections and switching from those servers.
But for Bowers, the benefits are not just more data transmitted between devices, it's about power savings as well.
For me personally, it's actually quite exciting because I direct an institute that's focused on energy efficiency and how do you solve this problem we as a country have of using less energy and inducing less climate change than is occurring. And currently, data centers use 3% of the internet in general, and data centers 3% of electricity, but it's doubling every year. So in 10 years, you know, all of a sudden you're talking 40% of our energy is going towards internet, which is a terrible problem for our planet.
I'll do this. Here we go. So I think you just click them, right?
We're now in Dr. Panicia's silicon photonics lab at Intel.
So what are we looking at here?
Okay, so what you have here is this is actually the integrated link running. And what you see here, this is our transmitter chip. And it's actually mounted on a PCB board. And on this chip, we have four hybrid lasers, four modulators, a multiplexer, and then it goes through a coupler that goes through a fiber. So what happens is you can turn on each individual laser is turned on electrically. So as you see here, you can turn on each laser. I'm then feeding in data. In this case, it's through a PRBS or a pattern generator where I'm actually putting in 12.5 gigabits per second to each modulator. Lasers go through the modulator and they encode it. Think of it as an optical shutter. So I'm now encoding data at 12.5 gigabits per second. Those four different colors or wavelengths of light then get muxed together. This is all still in one piece of silicon, and then get sent out to this connector, which has an optical fiber. So I have four channels running at 12.5 gigabits per second on four different colors. I mux them together, and now I have one fiber carrying 50 gigabits per second of data. That optical fiber then comes out, and you see here on this test board where it then comes into a new chip, our receiver chip, that takes the fiber in, the light goes into the silicon chip and goes into a demultiplexer, which splits the light up back into the four original channels or colors, and then into photodetectors, which are made out of germanium. Those germanium photodetectors convert the photons back to electrons, and it goes into another chip that actually amplifies it into a data stream. So what you're actually seeing here is I'm taking this electrical data into this chip. I'm now then transmitting it optically from silicon. It's sending it out to a fiber. In this case, it's only 10 meters, but in principle, whether it's 10 meters or 50 meters doesn't really make a difference. And now I'm putting this into another chip, completely separated, and I've just transmitted 50 gigabits per second of optical data from two silicon chips.
To Panicia, the successful test means more than just proving his theories. It's about being able to develop photonic devices that are viable to manufacture.
When we say these photonic chips, they're manufactured and made with our silicon manufacturing technology. So we can build very high volume, low cost, and that about just what we've done with the IC industry, it allows us to bring this optical technology into areas that we can't think of today. So optic communications, now connecting your laptop and your computer, your handheld, your TV in the future can all be optically connected. All this data that it gets into the cloud, you can just simply plug a fiber into your PC, fiber into your handheld, and you can move content and data around at enormously fast data rates.
This is a good example of universities and industry working together.
Again, Dr. John Bowers.
So I work at a California public university, and Intel is headquartered, and this research effort is headquartered in California. And it's a good example of the two organizations working together to find solutions to a well-known problem and enable us to solve this very thorny problem of the need for more and more internet capacity at lower and lower cost, and most importantly, lower and lower power. So we don't adversely affect the Earth that we live on.
That's our show for today. You can see photos of the people you heard and of Mario Panicia's Silicon Photonics link. Go to Flickr and search the tags Intel Future Lab. Future Lab is the online radio program of Intel Labs. You can find out more about Intel Labs research projects at intel.com/research. I'm Jason Lopez.